Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
But this morning, folks, we start a new series I'm excited about. I'm going to take the month of December, the next four Sundays of December, and kind of introduce this series. This series, Live, Work, Play, Love, is going to be our series for the entire 2015. And I'm really excited about this. We're going to be journeying through the Gospels and the Book of Acts in one big movement. And we're going to be looking at some special passages in those as they relate to just how we live, how we work, how we play, and how we love. And how all of these should be integrated, and how for most of us, it's so easy to get a fragmented, compartmentalized life, but God meant for us to live whole lives, everything fitting together with a large purpose behind all of that for a fulfilled life. And so I'm going to be tying this, introducing this series the next 4 weeks in December, and actually using the Christmas story to introduce this series. And this morning, I want to talk to you about life. Live. And just start with the question, what does it mean to truly live? What does it mean to truly live? I mean, do you take much time? Has anybody ever actually journeyed with you to talk about this idea of life? Oh, we have all kinds of things. Well, I'm just earning a living. I'm just trying to get margin for my life. And how many times we talk about my life? Have you journeyed with anybody, or do you have people in your lives that you can get on that level and talk about what life, what does it truly mean to live? I mean, where did this thing called life come from? And it's amazing, I think, when you hear the stuff that goes on out there in our culture, whether it be the media or anything else, it's like somehow we came up with this idea. It's like somehow we have control of this idea of life. Even to the point, and let me just be real bold here to tell you, watch the lies. Folks, life comes from life. Life does not just happen. Science proves this, and the incredible hypocrisy a very intelligent people to try to sell us the idea that life just happens. Folks, you're only here because of the life of your mother and father who came together to birth you. Life brings forth life. And it's real important to understand that. And today, the idea of what it means to truly live and what life is all about is being attacked at all fronts. And the reality is, if I believe that life was just accidental, what do I have to fall back on for hope or for meaning or purpose when it comes to what it means to truly live? This life, this breath, this soul, this deep sense of personality, this desire for something more, this desire to live, the power that is in you to live. Even if your body is falling apart, the power of the soul is so profoundly deep. The breath of life, where does that come from? Folks, the beautiful story of Christmas is really the story to restore among us the story of life. Is that life comes forth from life. And that we have an awesome God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who've lived in this perfect life and community. And everything within them creates life. This creation for us to enjoy, to seek Him, to walk with Him, to have a relationship with God. And God birthed from His life to us. The very first commandment to man and woman was what? Genesis 1. What's the very first command? Be fruitful and multiply. Go out there and reign and rule and enjoy my creation, bring forth life, and nurture and steward life. But isn't it true just how easy it is for life to be robbed from us? Just get down, lose perspective, and we get so myopic and just zoned in here. Folks, the essence of Christmas, listen carefully, is to show us what it means to truly live, to make sense out of life, meaning and purpose. What is life all about? Why am I here? And to show us how to bring forth life to a barren world. Because from the very beginning, you know what? When all of us come into this world, our parents brought us forth life. In science, we know all the details about how all that fits together because we live in an ordered, amazing universe. And science is such a blessing from God. But where did the soul come from? Where did the breath of life and the desires that are greater than anything that is in this creation? The hopes, the dreams, the desires. Let's just face it. All of us in here have a desire that our relationships will keep going on. Nobody wants life to end. It's built into us life. Life, not death. And we all know deeply that death is this harsh invader into our world that is unwanted. Jesus came from the Father to destroy the power of sin and death and restore the life of God inside the soul of man, that we would truly know what it is to live and live eternally as God restores inside our soul his original awesome intent for life and what that is all about. What does it mean to truly live? And to bring forth life. And folks, I want us to take a look this morning at the Christmas story, and specifically looking at Mary. Because how God came to Mary is an amazing picture, honestly, as we're going to walk through here, of this life, of what it looks like to birth the life of God inside the soul of our being. And it shows us what God's desire truly is here. And so if you have your Bible with you, if you'll open up to Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading verses 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. It's also up on the screen if you want to follow up there. I just encourage you, especially as we move into a new year, if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one or help you find one. If you like the electronic version idea, we'd love to help you find a great version. We use here two primary different translations. One we use is the ESV, English Standard Version, and I'll preach from that sometimes. It's more word-for-word accurate to the Greek text and the Hebrew text. Use it for study primarily, for real clarity and precision. But for devotion, reading, we use the NLT, the New Living Translation. So if you're just looking for help along those two lines, and I'm going to be reading from the NLT this morning, the New Living Translation, and it's a great, we have some available actually here if you would like that, or you can download this stuff. There's many other great, obviously, translations that are helpful, and I know many of you have your own personal, but we should read from multiple versions and translations and to get a special insight. Luke 1. Folks, just listen to these words, the word of God, and remember Isaiah 55 says, the word of God, when it goes forth, it does not return void. Okay? In other words, the scripture says that Jesus himself was the Logos. He was the Word. It says the creation itself, all this beauty we see out here, was spoken into being by God. The power of words. The power of communication. Right? And I tie that back to life. Can you imagine life without communication? We're the only, in all the creation, we create an image of God, God created this this crazy thing called language and verbal communication, that we could connect with each other. We're creating his image. So obviously, God wants to what? Communicate with us and have intimate relational connection. How do you explain language? And the deep desire to communicate with each other. All those questions should point us on a journey to what's this idea of life? It should point us on, is there a God who wants to communicate with us? Who put language here? Language does not just happen. My proof of that is, let's take a romantic relationship. Does good communication just happen? In a marriage, does good, deep, intimate, heart-level language just happen? No. It takes work. It takes outside life catalysts sometimes to get us communicating, connecting to the heart. Okay. Luke 1. Let me read for us here, starting verse 26. Just listen to the Christmas story this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel of Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. Who was Elizabeth? She was Mary's relative. Her husband was Zechariah. And you could go back and read the previous part of this chapter. And both Elizabeth and Zechariah, we are told, were righteous people. In other words, they wanted to honor God and his word. Zechariah was a priest. And he actually was serving in the temple. He was a Levite, so he was responsible for leading the people to God and to minister to God. And they were way, as the scriptures say, they were advanced in years, which I take to mean well over 50. well, way up. Advanced in years. The scripture tells us she was barren. Hadn't been able to have a child. And the Holy Spirit comes miraculously and helps Zechariah and Elizabeth have a child. And she's 6 months pregnant now. It is a miracle. And it is great rejoicing. And it's a profound miracle because they were well advanced. And this just doesn't happen. And so Gabriel now comes to this little insignificant city of Nazareth, a village in Galilee. Galilee is northeast of Jerusalem, all the area around the Sea of Galilee. It was mainly Gentile territory. Alexander the Great had settled that. The Romans now were in charge of that area. To a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David, and Gabriel appeared to her, and he said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried, of course, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Now, I'm going to come back to this, but I need you to listen to this as you think about the Christmas story. The average age of a young lady marrying was 13 years old. Mary was somewhere between 13 and 15, no older. Let that sink in. And think, if you're a parent, think of your 13-year-old child. Think today where a 13-year-old child is at. Joseph wasn't much older. And think of the response of Mary and, in the other part, of Joseph to God's revelation. 13 years old. Okay? We'll come back to that. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, which is the most common statement in the Old and New Testament. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's pretty profound, isn't it? When God comes to us in life. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren. But she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. Verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, 13 years old. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Wow. Wow. 13 years old. What a faith response that the angel left her. Folks, I believe what we have here, maybe you've never heard this take on this story before, but I'm going to take us on a little journey. This is an amazing picture of how God brings life to a person's soul. Mary, obviously, is the one who was favored, who got to birth. Somebody had to bring forth the Savior of the world, who had to come in flesh to be among us, to die for us, to bridge the gap between a holy God And us who rebels, running from God. Because God loves us. And he wants to talk with us. Jesus right now is in a resurrected human body at the right hand of God, waiting on you. John 14 says, preparing a place for his children. Because he wants you with him. He wants to talk to you. And you don't have to wait till then to talk. Because he said when he left the disciples, it's greater, better that I go to be with the Father, that I may send forth the Holy Spirit. The presence of God, the third person of the Godhead, to fill our hearts, our souls, that the life of God would come alive and start his work of regeneration. This is what salvation is all about. It's not, folks, coming to church or some mountaintop experience and just saying, I believe in Jesus. It's not just coming to Jesus because I need him to do this or this in my life. It is not. Salvation is so much bigger, more glorious than all of that. It is the God's life coming inside my soul, regenerating the very soul, my soul, my spirit, that are eternal, and bringing me back to the full relationship with my Creator. Redeeming me. Look at all these words. Rescuing me from the darkness. Bringing me to his light. Showering me with his grace and his mercy. And he wants to speak to us. He wants us to walk with him. And have life and relationship with him. Amen. So I just want to point out three things here. What does this life look like? What does it mean to truly live? The first one of these things, folks, God's life. I encourage you to write these down. Go back over this Christmas season and ask God, God, is your life alive inside my soul? God's life comes alive inside our soul by grace through faith. It's by grace. It's nothing I can do. It's not about being religious. It's not about going through a bunch of hoops. It's by receiving the greatest gift of all, free from God. Salvation is about receiving what Jesus has done for me through faith. In other words, I have to say, yes, God, come, God, into my life. Now, look at Mary. The Lord comes through Gabriel, his main big-time messenger. If Gabriel ever shows up at your house, get ready. You're going to have some work to do. I'm telling you right now. Favored. Listen to this. Favored woman. The Lord is with you. You found favor with God. What does it mean to find favor with God? Have you found favor with God? Are you in favor with your Creator? Are you sure inside your soul that you're right with Him? Are you sure that He smiles upon you? Are you walking in the favor of your Creator? You know, the Scriptures tells us that we are to know with absolute assurance and confidence that we are His, that we are saved. Any doubting of God's favor over my life, for your life, opens your soul and your heart to every lie of the enemy, every destructive thing that will crush your hopes and dreams and will keep you from walking in the destiny that God has for your life. Do you know the favor of God? Do you know what it is to just to rejoice in your salvation and what He's done for you? If we went back, as I talked about Zechariah, you remember, I just encourage you Christmas time to your children, or before you open the presents, my encouragement is you sit around the fire or whatever you do, and you read about the greatest gift ever before you open other presents. And you read the accounts in Matthew, the accounts in Luke. And remember when Gabriel came to Zechariah. And it was in the midst of he's serving. He's a priest. There should be expectation for this. He's in the temple. He's doing his service. Gabriel shows up and says, your wife, advanced in years, is going to have a child. And he's going to be great. John the Baptist. He's going to be one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Savior of the world. What does he do? I want the connection here. He's advanced in years. What's his response? He was struggling, receiving that word from God with faith. And so the angel made him dumb, and he couldn't speak, couldn't hear, until the day John was born, and he said, yes, his name is John. Now let's move forward. How did this 13-year-old, unknown, unfamous, how did this little virgin, 13-year-old girl in no-name Nazareth respond when Gabriel shows up in her life? You know, Scripture says in many different ways and places, Jesus said it profoundly, if you do not receive, do not receive me like a child, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Receive by faith God. Folks, where is your heart? Because a heart that is bathed with the grace of God is a heart that is childlike. It's like, God, what are you going to do today? There's no limits on a child, what a child will ask God, expect from God. God, this is what you said, I'm gonna stand on it. A child knows how to quickly move from doing something to just a place of joy. They can easily find themselves in joy. Folks, is your heart growing hard as it grows older? Every Christmas, every year that Christmas comes by, where's your heart? Is it more hardened by, I just can't wait for all these tourists to get out of Aspen, now I get through my work, and there's some reality to all the hectic nature of that hectic pace? But folks, is there a time? And every year, can you look back over your years and say, wow, man, my heart is just, there's more joy as I come into Christmas realizing what God has done for me, how He's favored me. If we go through the rest of Scripture, that's what it means to be saved, is we find favor from God. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Folks, you know what's amazing? And again, there's different, streams that take a different approach, but you'll find nothing in here about how great or righteous Mary was that deserved Gabriel coming to her. You'll find nothing. You'll find Zachariah and Elizabeth says they were righteous because they lived. I mean, she's 13 years old. How much did a 13-year-old at that time, was she able to do? You'll find nothing in here. Favor is the same Greek word for grace. God pouring out, not because of how good we're, not because of how hard I'm trying to be good. Because, God, I need you. I need you to come in and bring your life alive inside my soul. I can't do this without you, God. You found his favor, and to walk in that favor, folks. Wow. Let me read something. The angel said, you found favor. You will conceive, you'll give birth to a son. His name will be Jesus. Verse 32, just listen to this description of Jesus. And I ask you this morning, do you know him? Like this. He will be very great. Do you know your Savior? Do you know the greatness of God? Do you know the greatness of Jesus? Who's greater? I mean, line them up. Politicians, religious leaders, let's just go. Throw somebody out. Who is greater? Who's done anything more for you? Who has laid out the best moral, righteous path of anyone, of any time? Who has a greater vision of life and blessing and joy? No one is great. Who lived like he did? Who loved like he did? Who has more promises? Nobody. He is great. And therefore, greatly to be praised. Do you get wooed by the power of man? Influence and money and power and influence, do those things really excite you? Did you get wooed by the greatness of man? I mean, just look at history. Even good men and women. We fall, we fail, we're limited. He is great and greatly to be praised. Do you see him more like that this season? Let's just go on here. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign forever and ever. He's the fulfillment. Every promise God has ever given. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, the scripture says, in Jesus, all of God's promises are yes. Yes. And folks, every Christmas, do you come like a child? God, when you say, Jesus, in chapter 14 of John, and you say, ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it, do you just giggle? Whoa! Or do you get wrapped up, oh, well, that's, you know, we got that, he doesn't really mean that, and da-da-da, and what happens to your heart? Is it hardened and awe? And do you have any hope? And as you grow older and advanced in your years, is expectation for the goodness of God, the miracles, what he can do in this world, in your life, in your family, in marriages, your finances, everything. Is there a childlike, yes, Lord, I'm going to hold Jesus. All this is yes in your name. Or is there a hardness? To get hard is to fall out of favor. It doesn't mean you're not, you know, he's going to banish you. It means that you're hardened. You're like an orphan. You're like a prodigal who's running away from the house of blessing. His kingdom will never end. Revelation 11 says, in the end, the kingdoms of this world will bow and all become the kingdom of our God and King. Wow. Do you have that kind of hope? I mean, let's just, there's got to be, universally around the world, aren't we all crying for our government to do something righteous? Bring peace, bring resolution, bring this world together in love and peace, right? We all, doesn't matter who you are, we can unite on those things. Those are universal. Who's going to do it? Who can do it? Can we do it? Can human beings do it? I mean, come on, give me a break. If you really think a human being can do that, I got a whole thousands of years of history to talk to you about. And just look at our own state we're in, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, pray for your leaders. You might not like them. Honor them. Pray for them. That God would speak to them and bring righteousness and bring peace to what we as human can't do in our lifetime, right? The promises are available. How does this life come? It comes by getting in the favor of God. How does someone get into the favor of God? It's so simple. It's like a child. And this is the amazing thing. John 3:16, for God so loved the, he gave his only, that all who should believe in him should not perish. It's trying to trick you there. But have everlasting life. God didn't send his son in the world to condemn or judge it, but to save it. Restore life. Well, okay, but you got to this. And it's that simple, folks. Open your heart to the Savior of the world. He will shower you with his favor, his grace. And you'll start walking in his promises. He wants to talk to you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to live with you. John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, that doesn't mean just say you believe in me, by the way. If you follow me, live with me, walk with me, try to follow and obey me, you'll never walk in darkness again, for you will have the light of life. Wow. You'll have the light that makes sense. You'll have the life. And in Matthew 5, Jesus says, you, that those of you who follow me are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You are to bring forth birth and bring life to a barren, dark world that is desperately seeking answers in life. From here, primarily, the heart. Right? Next thing, God's life resides in us by the Holy Spirit. Because the question is how? So Gabriel comes to Mary and says, well, this is what's going to happen. And her reply as a 13-year-old. Mary asked the angel, excuse me, sir. How can this happen? See, I'm a virgin. I'm 13. How? And he goes on. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. If you do a little study, that Greek word, come upon you, is the exact same word used in Acts chapter 1:8 when Jesus told the church, you wait here in Jerusalem, until the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the life and power of God fills you. How about that? And he goes on. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. There's a connection, as we've been studying in Exodus, about the cloud of God's presence over, it's the same word, overshadow you, the presence of God. Folks, how can we live this life? How can life of God be restored inside our heart? Remember, God's concerned about what's in here first and then working it out, right? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the how. Of God coming with his amazing gift inside our soul. This is why Jesus says, it's better that I go. Because I'm going to put my life inside every soul who desires to follow me. The Spirit and presence of God will come and start this process of salvation, this process of regeneration, this process of bringing the life of God alive inside my soul. It's awesome. You ever thought about that? The very same process that Gabriel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and your womb is going to bring forth the Savior of the world, the life of God. You ever thought about it? It's the same process that Jesus says, church, wait. And Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Be pregnant, church, with the life of God. And it just goes with all the massive passages. You know, Paul says, well, I've been crucified with Christ, but yet it's not I who live, but it's what Christ who lives in here. And he wants to get out of here, out here. And bless people. You see, God's, why the church is called the body of Christ, is because the life of God is to give birth through the hearts of God's people out there to a barren world that is desperate for answers of the heart. It's by the power of the Spirit of God, bringing forth the life of God. We all should be constantly living in a place of pregnant with the Holy Spirit, letting God's life come alive. And what did Jesus promise, by the way? If anybody's thirsty, anybody's hungry, he believes what my word says, what streams of living water will what? Flow through your heart. Living water out from your life, you will bring forth. As we start to live this life and God starts bringing hope and the joy and the assurance of this favor and grace, not my religion, not my works, but wow, he saved me by his grace. Life comes forth. The love of God comes forth, right? It's awesome. Final thing. Folks, listen carefully. What does it mean to truly live? The Christmas story shows us what it means to truly live. It shows us how to make sense out of life, all everything that's going on, the trauma, the everything else, our need for God to do something. And it shows us how to bring forth that God has a purpose for us. He wants to live through us. John 15 says God wants to share his work, his business with us. He wants to love and carry out his mission through us. And folks, let me just tell you, if we don't have our life connected to this larger story, we're lost. To have any meaning and any sense of ongoing hope, we have to understand that my life is a part of something bigger. That's why he commands us to meet together regularly, to worship together, to be a part of something bigger that all connects. And remember, the church is not just gathered locally, but we're a part of, you know, right now, our brothers and sisters worshiping in Pakistan. Worshiping in Afghanistan, heard this week of some brothers and sisters that were good friends of Rick and Colleen. Father and his children gave their life at the hands of Al-Qaeda to share the love of God with people in darkness. That's love. What Jesus said, no greater love. No greater love. Does anyone have? Except laying your life down for one another. Right? The solution for the hearts of a terrorist ultimately is not a bazooka. It's a greater love, a greater commitment. You see, they show their radical commitment by strapping a bomb. Followers of Jesus show their commitment by laying their life down willingly and lovingly that a dark soul could have the life of God, right? Wow. How can this happen? The last thing, if you go back one slide. Final thing. Life, folks, listen carefully. It has no limits. I'm going to say it again. No limits. When God's life is alive inside your heart. No limits. Jesus never put a limit on what God by faith and the power of the Spirit could do through your life. We are the ones who put limits on that. And this is exactly what happens here when God comes, the angel, messenger of God, for nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? See, I believe that in most churches in America, if I stood up and I says, for nothing is impossible with God, that most people would say, that is true. I believe that. But you see, the gospel, Jesus goes further. If you go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, you know what Jesus says? He says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, do you believe that? It's a whole nother level, isn't it? One is, yes, God, you can do that. And God is looking around, okay, who's willing to let me do it through them? Who's willing to deny themselves, pick up their cross, follow me, and let my life live through them? That's a life that comes fully alive, passionate for God, full of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you want a life like that? I do. And I'm asking God, Lord, show me, Lord, reveal what's going on in here. It starts with a childlike request. God, come. Bring it alive. And Derek, if y'all will come on up here, we're going to worship. And we're going to ask the Lord, the Spirit of God, to come and to respond to what we've talked about here. But I want to jolt those in this room on both, specifically on either end of this spectrum. I want to highlight here to our youth and to our young adults, take to heart the story of Mary. Do not think, and parents, do not think that because someone is young, someone's a youth, someone's isn't advanced in years, that, you know, you got to kind of wait for the Holy Spirit to do something powerful in your life. 13. Youth, young person. God wants to put his life inside your soul, and he wants to change the world, even at 13. Don't let people push you down. What did Paul say to Timothy? Timothy, don't worry about how young you are. Don't let people push you down. You just carry about God's business and see what God does. And advanced in years, folks, I'm in the middle somewhere myself. But don't squash the passion and the expectation of the youth. Don't be a killjoy. Don't be a cold-hearted, just humdrum. Don't bring to children's wild dreams. Well, that just isn't going to happen. Don't be a vision vandal, a dream killer. Now let's go to the other thing. Look what the passage says. All things are possible with God. That is clearly, directly related to what happened with Elizabeth, advanced in years. So I want to speak to those advanced in years. Maybe this is where the majority of the work has to take place. Do you believe that you're still useful? No matter how advanced, how much of life or seasons of life have passed you by, do you believe that God, that all things are possible? And you know, my own personal opinion in America right now, as we're growing, the demographic is happening, I believe the ones who are going to get the most radical for God and do some of the most amazing things are going to be those advanced in years, who are going to start living and doing and experiencing things and holding on to dreams and passions of God, who the world has says, you know what, your time is done. We need young people in this business or this sports thing. We exalt youth in our culture, folks. What God says is, you're never done. And just like Caleb, 80 years old, I'm as strong as I was. Give me that mountain. I want to take it. If you're here and you've thought life has passed you by, let God, ask God to move and restore in your soul the life of God, that no matter our regrets, our failures, our past dreams, whatever it is that all things are possible with God when his life gets inside a soul, no matter how old we are. The The final thing I'll say before we just go into our ministry time, folks, is remember this time is not a time for you just to sit and to observe what's happening up here. This is body life. As we prepare our hearts to come to the table, ask God about what's going on inside your heart this Christmas season. Lord, I want that life in my soul. If you're here and you'd like prayer, we're going to have some folks. I see Chris and Beth Ann, maybe down here by this table, Michelle, and I'll be down here. John Robin might just have you all come up the front row, be available. Just some people down here who would, if you need some, you want some encouragement, we'd love to encourage you here this morning. But I want to end by saying, before we pray about our hearts, the second thing to ask yourself is, Lord, who do you want me to bless this morning here? Is there someone here or maybe out there afterwards? But this is a time to move among each other and enjoy one another. But Lord, the question is your life, Lord. I want you to live through me. Do I just need to go encourage someone? Do I need to go pray with somebody? Might be the person right next to you. You need to make your, if you follow him, this is the ministry, the priesthood of all believers. God came for us to serve each other. This is a chance to say, all right, God, just a simple prayer. How can I bless somebody? Pray, I'm available. Bring your life alive. Okay? As we close this time, and one final thing. These folks, I just been praying about this, and I do feel I want to invite us to pray for anyone who, any woman and who's struggling with being barren. Folks, we have some amazing testimonies of couples who've struggled in having children. And when they've come forth and we've prayed for them, amazing things happen. All things are possible. And if you're here, whether it's you or whether it's a family member or friend, let's go after that this morning and bring encouragement to that, all right? Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would move in our hearts during this time of worship. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Change our hearts. Let us be overjoyed with your life inside our soul. And God, I pray if there's anyone in here, they're not just sure of your favor over them, that they know you, Jesus. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that they'd receive you here this morning and come in, bring their heart alive. God, we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.